Okay, open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. This is the book which we will begin studying, Lord willing, in Sunday school this Sunday. And the verse we will look at chapter 3 tonight is verse 3, and it's a description of the believer's lifestyle. A description of the believer's lifestyle. Now, one can turn it into law by demanding that we worship God or by demanding that we rejoice. But we know, beloved of God, that no amount of legalistic preaching can get that desired result. It must flow from our hearts. It must flow from within, and it's a new heart. Heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, being called born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And what do God's people rejoice in? We rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? We rejoice in his perfect sin atoning work, redeeming our eternal souls with his precious, precious blood. We rejoice in that. It's wonderful. My. When we're feeling down, we need to just think about rejoicing in Christ. And think about the sin-atoning work. He's redeemed us with his blood. Now, we all get down. We all do. We all do. We all get down. Do we rejoice all the time? No, we don't always rejoice all the time. No. Do we have cause to rejoice all the time? Yes, in Christ. But, oh, the flesh, the flesh, the flesh, right? Oh, the flesh. Well, let's read Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Paul writes to the Philippian brethren, who we are going to see on Sunday in chapter 1, he calls saints. I'm sitting here with Saint Dave and Saint Zane and Saint Vicky and Saint Diane. Saint people who are listening, who are the Lord's. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my. Oh, my. And that word saint means to be made holy, set apart. My, oh, my. So look at this. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Now, I found out in preparing for the study of Philippians that the Philippians were plagued by the same folks that the Galatians were plagued by, the Judaizers, saying you must be circumcised to be saved. And listen to what Paul writes here, for we are the circumcision. Now, he's writing to God's people here, right? He's saying, we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have, look at this, no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now, he's gonna talk about his past pedigree as a Hebrew. Saying if anyone had a reason to rejoice or boast in the flesh, which glory a lot of times in our scriptures is boast. So if anyone had reason to boast in their flesh, look at this. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of Hebrews. My, oh, my. It's touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. We know he was wasting the church, wasn't he? Touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. So he saw himself as blameless before the law, before the Lord saved him. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Look at that. Everything that he counted gain, all that knowledge, all those things, being a Pharisee, being a Benjamite, all those things he counted loss for Christ. They were worthless. they wouldn't save him. My, look at say, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him, all that we might know him. He's revealed himself. We know him now, don't we? And as Dave prayed, our hope is that others would know him, that he'd reveal himself to others. Oh my! Reveal himself to his lost sheep, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, verse 3 is our text that we're going to look at tonight. And we see here three features of the gospel believer. Three features of those who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on he who is our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read Philippians 3:3 again. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. First of all, we see here Paul speaking to the saints of God, right? To the Philippian church. He says we are, he's basically saying we're the true circumcision. Yeah, and they're Gentiles, brother. This is a Greek church. So now we know when he said the body of Christ comprises those who are born again of Jews and Gentiles. Those are the true circumcision. The elect of God are the true circumcision. And this is speaking of the Judaizers or anyone else saying you have to be circumcised to be saved. Paul's saying, no, we're already the true circumcision. Because true circumcision, right? Circumcision represented the new birth. You must be born again. Circumcision in the Old Testament is brought forth in the new birth. It's an operation of God. We're circumcised in the heart now, beloved. Not in the flesh, but in the heart. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul's saying they have the name, they have a form, they have the outward sign, but we have Christ. We have Christ. And again, circumcision in the new birth finds its fulfillment. It's the difference between heaven, listen to this, it's the difference between heaven, the Lamb of the Old Testament sacrifices, and heaven Christ, the Lamb. If people are trusting in circumcision to save them, they're just trusting in a type and shadow. But we trust in Christ Jesus, the true Lamb of God. Circumcision, Paul told us in Galatians, can't avail anyone, or uncircumcision, but a new creature. You must be born again. And Paul's bringing that forth here. We are the true circumcision. And true circumcision, spoken of here, is having the heart pricked and laid open by the Holy Spirit of God. True circumcision is renouncing our own righteousness, saying, I have no righteousness of my own. Christ is all my righteousness. He's everything, isn't he, Brother Zane? He's everything to us. Without Christ, we have no righteousness. So we renounce our own righteousness, which is filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. And true circumcision is of the heart, not of the flesh. Brother Dave, we've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We have a new heart now that wants to worship God when we never used to want to worship God. That wants to rejoice in the things of Christ when we never used to rejoice in the things of Christ. It's absolutely amazing. And true circumcision is to draw nigh to God with a new heart. Not the body. Not the body. With a new heart. We draw nigh to God with a new heart, right? Because we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And true circumcision is to rejoice. Now, let us just rejoice in this. In our completeness in Christ. Beloved, let us leave here rejoicing tonight in our completeness in Christ, having no confidence in carnal descent, tribe or family or ceremony or law. Our hope is in Christ in Christ alone, right? That's our only hope, beloved. You must be born again. So Paul's saying here, for we are the circumcision. He's basically saying, we're the born again ones. We're the born again ones. Let's read verse 3 again. For we are the circumcision. Look at that. There's no doubt in there, is it? It's like, well, we might be. No, we are the circumcision. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So the first truth in this marvelous verse is that true believers worship. Worship's like breathing. We don't have to be told to breathe, do we? Neither does a believer have to be told to worship. It comes naturally, doesn't it, after we're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, before we were saved, we didn't desire to worship God at all. And now, after we're saved, we desire to worship God. Now, that's a miracle of God, isn't it? That he takes a rebel who wanted nothing to do with him and turns him into a saint who wants to worship him and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as God's born-again, blood-washed people, it's what we want. We desire to worship God. We desire to worship God at home. We desire to worship God at work. We desire to worship God at church. We desire to worship God wherever we are. How do you do that? Just praise his name. Give him all the glory. Thank him for a parking spot. Because it's by his divine providence, isn't it? Thank him for the goodness in your life. Thank him for being our comfort. Thank him for redeeming us with his precious, precious blood. And when we obey the revealed word of God, we're worshiping him. When we present our body as a living sacrifice, right? That's just serving him, beloved. That's just serving our King. We worship in him then. And it's interesting to observe the kind of worshipers God's seeking. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 4. You know, he's seeking for people who will worship him in spirit and truth. Listen to the words of the Master over here in John chapter 4. Look at this. This is amazing. John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father, what? In spirit. Ah, you must be born again. And in truth. Who's the way, the truth, and the life? Christ. Amen, Brother Dave. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship in what? In spirit and truth. Oh, you must be born again. And who do we worship? We worship the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. My, oh my. Isn't that wonderful, beloved? It all centers around Christ again. And let us remember, too, worship is not an attempt to gain heavenly approval. Right? We already have that, don't we, in Christ? We've already obtained salvation in Christ. We've already been qualified for heaven in Christ. So worship's not to gain approval with God. No. That approval's already been secured by the blood of Christ, beloved. My. And as a result of that, knowing that the approval of God is already secured in Christ, what's it make us want to do? Worship him. Praise his mighty name, Dave. Amen. That's what it makes us want to do, doesn't it? Causes our heart to just bubble over. And you know what? You can't worship God unless you're saved. Can't worship God unless you're born again. Think about how many religious, unsaved people worship, go and say they worship when they neither have the Spirit in them and they're not clothed in the righteousness of Christ. They can't worship God. Unknown God, amen. Yeah. We can only, and if we worship in spirit and truth, you must be born again, and you must worship Christ. My, oh my. Yet, the unsaved religious person goes to church. Oh, they might dress well and be nice and tidy. And there they sing of matters. They sing of matters that they know nothing of. They know nothing. They might sing Amazing Grace. They don't know what Amazing Grace is. Now, we who have been saved, we who were wretches, dead dog sinners who saved by the grace of God, we know what God's amazing grace is, don't we? Because we know we're undeserving sinners. And if we got what we deserved, we'd be in hell. But praise God, He don't give us what we deserve. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My, oh my. And let us remember this. Again, rejoice, beloved of God, because our salvation and our acceptance by God is only in Christ. Nowhere else. It's not found anywhere else. Rejoice, beloved. Rejoice. We are complete in Christ. I know that song, rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice, right? We have a lot to rejoice about. But see, the flesh, the flesh, the flesh, right? It can get in the way, but let us rejoice. When we're down, let us rejoice. When we're up, let us rejoice. When we're in the middle, let us rejoice. My, we're so easily taken down, aren't we? I know I am. My, oh my. The Spirit's willing, but what? Flesh is weak. Oh yeah. When we've all experienced that, haven't we? Oh yeah. But you see, even with that, we still worship God in spirit and truth because we're born again through Christ. And our acceptance is not based upon our worship. Our acceptance is based upon Christ. And we worship because of that wonderful fact that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My, oh my. So we worship God in spirit. We don't worship God in outward rituals and ceremonies and no, we rejoice that we are complete in Christ. And what's another characteristic of those who trust in Christ, and this will be our third point, not our second, but our third, is we have absolutely no confidence in the flesh. There is no way I can save myself. I need to cast myself wholly on Christ. And by God's grace, that's what we who are the redeemed have done. And our prayer is that whoever listens to this does not know Him. Oh, may you cast yourself upon Christ. May God make you willing and cast yourself. Because Christ came to save sinners. Yeah. Sinners of whom what? As Dave and I were talking, we're the chiefs. We all feel that way, right? We all feel that way, don't we? The worst of the worst. Like I said, heaven's not full of good people. Heaven's full of sinners. Saved by the grace of God. In Christ, beloved. Amen. Amen, Brother Zane. In Christ. Now, outside of Christ, there's no salvation. But in Christ, we have all these wonderful blessings. Now, that should stir our hearts to rejoice, right? Oh, my. My, oh, my. You know, and see, I see what Paul's doing, and it's in my first message in Philippians. The whole aim of this epistle is, like all his epistles, is to point us to Christ. Because he knows, just like we know, we can easily be distracted. But we need to keep our eyes on Christ, don't we? We need to keep our eyes on Him. Oh, so those who worship God in spirit and truth have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in our fleshy works. No confidence in anyone else. Only confidence in Christ. Right? He's the one we glory in. He's the one we boast in. Only in Christ. Let's read Philippians 3:3 again. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The second point is the true believer rejoices in Christ. Rejoices in Christ. You know, when we're born again, the Holy Spirit energizes us, doesn't He? To be able to worship. Because by nature, we don't worship. We don't worship God in our dead natural state. I had a fellow today, I was talking to a fellow today, and we were talking about the Greek word in Ephesians 2 that means dead, right? That we're dead in trespasses and sins. And I said, so that word means, in the Greek, a corpse. And he said, well, we can still make a decision. I said, how, if we're a corpse, spiritually?
No confidence in the flesh.
Well, that, I see it, yeah. And that was before I put this message together. And I'm sitting there, and I said, well, how can you say that a dead person can do something then? I said, and you know what he said to me? It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. And I said, you profess to believe the Bible. You profess to believe every word the Bible says. And I'm showing you the underlying Greek text where it says it's a corpse. And you're telling me it doesn't mean that. See, Norm Wells said something a long time ago. Long time ago, and I've never forgotten it. He said that religion is the only place where dead means mostly dead. Not totally dead. You can't get much more dead than a corpse, can you?
No.
No. You can't. And so that's how we are spiritually. We're spiritually dead. That's why we have no confidence in the flesh, too. Because the only confidence we can have is in Christ. He's the one who raised that corpse, wasn't he? Lazarus, come forth. Yeah, and I even brought that up with the fellow. I said, that's a picture of us dead. Lazarus couldn't do nothing. And I said, the whole reason the Lord didn't say come forth, because every single grave would have broke open, beloved. So he did, and it's a picture of effectual calling too. Lazarus, come forth. Just like Dave, come forth, right? Zane, come forth. Wayne, come forth. He did that. He did that for us. Isn't that wonderful? Oh my, it's wonderful. I'll tell you why. We got reason to rejoice, don't we? My, oh my. My, oh my. So the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God energizes every true believer, enabling them to rejoice in Christ. And no one can rejoice in Christ if you're not in Christ. Right? The only way we can rejoice in Christ is to be in Christ. And it's Him who gives us that joy, isn't it? Yeah. Oh my. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Do you know what the word rejoice means in Philippians 3:3, where we're in? You know what it means in the Greek? To boast. Yeah, people think, oh, you got to be happy, rejoice, you're going to rejoice. No, it means to boast. Who's our boast in? Christ. Listen to this. And I'll read it with that. Listen. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Who's our boast in, Brother Zane? Christ. Amen. My, oh my. And Brother Dave, we don't have no confidence in the flesh, do we? Nope. Nope. None at all. The believer, therefore, is one who boasts in Christ. That's what rejoicing is. We're boast. Christ is my Savior. And I'll tell you, even you tell yourself that during the day, you're gonna get a little spring in your step. I'll tell you that. Right? Man, I know we all talk to each other, talk to ourselves, right? We all do it. We all do it. Well, tell yourself, praise God, I'm saved. Woo, my. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, that's a reason to boast in Christ, isn't it? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's a reason to boast in Christ. Oh, my. And this ties in with other scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he that glorieth, same Greek word, boast, let him boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. Then listen to this. Old Testament, Psalm 34:2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Jehovah. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. We've been humbled by Christ, haven't we? And we're glad. We hear people's boasting in Christ, and we're glad, aren't we? When we speak to one another about Christ, we're boasting in Christ, aren't we? And we're glad. Makes your heart go. Does not our hearts burn within us, beloved? Man, when we stay here Wednesday nights or Sundays after service and we all start talking, man, heart just gets fired up, beloved. It's wonderful. And then listen to this, Romans 15, 17. I have therefore, wherever I may glory, boast in the Greek, through Christ Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. And then Galatians 6, 14. But God forbid that I should glory, boast in the Greek, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Isn't that wonderful? My brother Miles McKee says this, we are instructed in the scripture to rejoice in the Lord, but some believers I've met should have mourned in the Lord always, imprinted on their Bibles. Religious folks are like that too. Oh yeah. No, well, we who are the redeemed of the Lord, we have lots to boast in about Christ, don't we? We have lots to rejoice in about Christ. Oh. And beloved of God, rejoicing is our heaven-given privilege. Boasting about Christ is our heaven-given privilege. Not everyone boasts in Christ, do they? We know that in the world. You go out in the world and start boasting about Christ, you'll find out there are not a lot of people like that. But we still do it, don't we? We still boast in Christ. Oh my. The judge of all the earth could have condemned us if it had been his will. But he saved us by his grace and by his mercy according to his will and purpose. And that all came about in eternity, beloved. Now that caused us to boast in Christ, that we're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that Christ is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, and that which God planned and purposed must come to pass in time and space. So Christ Jesus himself, the second person of the Trinity, comes in, becomes a man, comes into time and space, and redeems us with his precious blood. Now we have lots to boast about, don't we, in Christ? Not in ourselves. That's why Paul says, I got no confidence in the flesh. My flesh can't do nothing. I can't save myself, but Christ saved me. I'm going to boast in him, beloved. I'm going to boast in Christ. Oh, what a redeemer. What a savior. And he says, he'll save to the uttermost all who come to God through him, through Christ. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Has he not given us rest, Brother Zane? Oh my, Brother David's given us rest to our soul, hasn't he? Yeah, we cease from our labors. Cease from trying to gain approval before God with our works. And now we know that the only approval from God is in and through Christ Jesus. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Oh my, isn't that wonderful? Praise God. And the fact of our salvation in Christ and the gospel truths which have been revealed to us, the fact that God chose us in Christ in eternity, and many other biblical truths are wonderful reasons to boast in Christ, to rejoice in Christ. Oh, now do we always rejoice? Do we always boast in Christ? No, we don't. And we confess it as our sin, don't we? Oh, my. Oh. Just as we do our other imperfections. I have many imperfections. I have many sins. But praise God, they're all covered under the blood. All completed in him. Oh my. And sometimes when I see the wretchedness of my own heart outside of Christ, I feel powerless to rejoice. You know, when we're in the flesh, we feel powerless to rejoice, don't we? But let us remember, we're in the Spirit. We're born again. Hell, flesh will drag us down. But rejoice, beloved. We worship God in spirit and truth. We boast in Christ. We rejoice in Christ. We boast in him. And that only comes about by God's grace, doesn't it? Oh, my. And you know what else, too? My, oh, my. Let's look at this verse again. Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision. That's the true saints of God. born again by the Holy Spirit God, which worship God in spirit and rejoice, boast in Christ Jesus. And here's the latter part. No confidence in the flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh. This is the third. This is the third thing I'd like to look at in this verse. The believer puts no confidence in the flesh. When we see what we are outside of Christ and realize that our flesh is unimprovable, we can't improve upon ourselves, can we? We just keep sinning. We can't make ourselves better. No, all we do is sin. We see how corrupt and utterly worthless we are in our own righteousness. It is then, by the power of God, the Holy Spirit revealing Christ to us, that we learn to put no confidence in anything that the flesh tells us. The heart is wicked. That's why we need a new heart, beloved. That's why we need a new heart. And also, what the flesh tells us about us is not who we are. We have a new identity in Christ. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Brother Dave, we're talking about tapes, man. We got tapes that play in our heads from before we were saved. Oh, you're worthless. Oh, this and that. Oh, that. And my dad used to say, you're never going to amount to nothing. So that's a tape that plays in my head. Well, I'm in Christ. My, oh, my. He loves me. He's loved me with an everlasting love. My dad's love for me was nowhere near nothing what God loves me. My, oh, my. God's loved us. Let us rejoice in this. Let us boast in this. And this is all by grace, that God has loved us with an everlasting love. And it'll never change. That's amazing grace. If we sing Amazing Grace, we sing Are We Washed in the Blood, we're singing as redeemed people. Oh my. We put no confidence in the flesh. None at all. No confidence in the flesh. For our salvation is all in Christ. And we now focus on Christ, don't we? And preachers, we point you to Christ. And I listen to preacher, I listen to DJ Walter, he point me right to Christ. Oh, I need it so bad. Do you? I need to hear more about my Savior. I need to hear about his perfect finished work. Tell me about his sin atoning work. Tell me that he died for my sins. Tell me that he washed me in his precious blood, and that God remembers my sins no more. Oh my! Now that'll cause you to worship and rejoice, won't it? In Christ. Oh, I'll tell you. Oh my. And we rest in his perfect sin atoning, blood washing work, don't we? He's washed us from all our sins in his precious, precious blood. We put no confidence in the flesh for our salvation. Instead, we focus on Christ Jesus. The gospel's preached, and what do we do? As the gospel's preached, we learn to rejoice in Christ, don't we? We learn to boast in him. We learn to worship him. And then we sing a wonderful song like we did. And before service, we're going to sing another one. Are you washed in the blood? Oh, my. I bet you we'll be rejoicing. Well, we're singing that song. Oh my, isn't it wonderful? No confidence in the flesh. And we've learned as believers to rejoice in Christ Jesus for the mighty work of saving our souls. We were dead. We were a corpse spiritually. We were alive physically, but a corpse spiritually. And he made us alive. Why? But God, who's rich in mercy. Oh, Brother Zane, is our God rich in mercy? Oh, my. You can't plumb the depths of his mercy, can we? No. You can't. And you can't plumb the heights of his mercy, can you? And you can't plumb the width of his mercy. Oh, it's boundless. It's boundless. Brother Dave, we're washed in that fountain filled with blood. Oh, come out of that fountain whiter than snow. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's wonderful. And you know what? The believer never tires of hearing the gospel. We never tire of hearing the gospel. Tell me again and again and again.
Preach on.
Let me hear about the perfect, sin atoning, finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we never tire of hearing how his blood has washed our sins away. Oh, we never tire of hearing how we've been redeemed with his precious blood. We never tire of hearing our Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful words, "It is finished." The work is done. It's complete. Salvation is wrought. And we who are the redeemed of the Lord believe that we are saved entirely and utterly by someone else, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have no confidence in the flesh, beloved. That's why. And God's born-again, blood-washed saints believe that their sole qualification for salvation is found not in our worthiness. No, we're unworthy. But our sole qualification for salvation is found in Christ. Nowhere else, beloved. Nowhere else. My, so our salvation is not found in our worthiness, but in our unworthiness. We're not worthy at all. Yet it pleased God to save us. That make me want to worship him. Does it make you want to worship him? Oh, my. Does it make you want to boast in him? Oh, yes, beloved. Oh, my. And God's born-again, blood-washed saints believe that Jesus Christ alone is our complete and continual acceptance before God the Father. Even in heaven, we're worshiping the Lamb, beloved. My, oh, my. Now, let's read Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 9. My, oh, my, look at this. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, is touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. So he's saying, I have no confidence in my past works. I have no confidence in my flesh. It was all a bunch of dung. And look what he says in the next verse. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Oh, he's my Lord. Is he your Lord? Oh, my. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but to count them but dung, nothing, that I may win Christ and be found in him. In Christ. There's the key again. The vein through all this. Paul's just pointing us right to Christ, beloved. He's pointing the Philippian believers right to Christ. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. And that's the righteousness of Christ, beloved. My. So we are saved entirely by grace. By grace. Salvation is all of grace, and it is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nowhere else. And God's born-again, blood-washed saints believe that all the treasures of wisdom and spiritual knowledge are only found in Christ. Therefore, we do not weary ourselves by chasing after this or that new experience or supposed blessing. We don't need to. We don't need to. We have everything in Christ, beloved. Some folks are always looking for a new experience. Look at this. I'll tell you what. I'm going to stand right here. Praise God, I'm saved. I have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Complete in him, Brother Dave. Amen, brother. Don't need nothing else. We don't need to chase after some experience or some new thing. No, not at all. We got Christ. If we have Christ, we got everything. We have everything. Oh, my. And all God's born-again, blood-washed saints believe that all the doctrines in the Scripture find their hub in Christ. They're all spokes in the wheel, and they go to one hub. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. All the doctrines of Scripture point right to Him. This is a hymn book, H-I-M, right? It's all about Christ. He said, Moses and the prophets, they testify of me. The New Testament testifies of Him. It's a hymn book. So all the doctrines of God, right? Think of it. Sanctification, justification, redemption. All those wonderful doctrines find all their center in Christ. He's the hub. They're just spokes. Oh my. We have everything in Him. So all teaching, responsibilities, and Christian activities also find their center in Christ alone. And God's born-again, blood-washed saints, as they grow in grace, rather than becoming self-satisfied and hard-spirited, they continue to develop in their understanding by the grace of God and by the teaching of God the Holy Spirit of their lack of worth in themselves. So as we grow in grace, beloved, we learn more and more of our lack of ability in ourselves. That's why the more we grow in grace, the more we keep putting our trust and confidence in Christ. Isn't it true? Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? Oh, it's wonderful. I'll tell you what. My, oh, my. And we look to Christ. We look to Christ. As the gospel, think of this too, as the gospel hammer breaks us. It breaks us. That gospel hammer comes in and just breaks us. Like hitting a rock. We're like our hearts are like stone. And that gospel hammer comes in. By the power of God, the Holy Spirit. My, oh my. Breaks us. And then we increase in our comprehension. That we receive favor, not because of anything we're doing, but because of the fact that we're in Christ. That's the only reason we receive favor. Isn't that wonderful? It's not based upon our performance. See, in religion, it's all based upon your performance. And I'll tell you what, I've been there. Zane, you were there too. It's just work, 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 work. Dave, you were there. Work, do this, do this, do this, do this. When does it end? Oh, I don't have any confidence in the flesh now, do you guys? No, not at all. We're just going to rest in Christ, aren't we? Yeah, that is wonderful. Now, and we've been taught that, haven't we? Because when we try to fix things, we only make it worse. Right? We only make it worse. Oh my. And we've learned as God's born-again, blood-washed saints that Christ's worthiness is the source of all our blessings. We are saved, Scripture says, for Christ's sake. Right? All our blessings, all spiritual blessings find their center in Christ. They're all in Him. They're nowhere else. Right? Nothing left for us to do. He's done it all. He said, it's finished. Our salvation, that means our salvation's complete. It's done. As I said many times, I preach that salvation's already finished. It's already done, beloved. Now, in Christ, as God's born again, blood-washed people, we learn to remember that we are treated as though we've never sinned. Even though we're sinners. Now you make that statement, people go, what? Well, God says He don't remember my sin no more. You know why? Amen, Brother Dave. We're washed in the blood. And as Zane said, we're in Christ. Oh my. We're already standing before the Father in Christ. Do you know that? Scripture says we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ. Ooh, man, I'll tell you what. Isn't that wonderful, beloved? This is wonderful. This is amazing. My, oh my. And the only reason we can say that is because we are standing before the Father in the immaculate righteousness of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who's worthy of our praise and our worship. So rejoice, beloved to God, in the fact that we are already right now, we have the full favor of God. Right now. Let that one sink in. We have the full favor of God right now. Not because of any works which we have done or any contributions that we've made. That could never be. But rejoice, beloved of God, as we have full favor in heaven because of Christ Jesus our Lord and his perfect, finished sin atoning work. Isn't that wonderful? My! No wonder Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, which we know, boast in the Lord always, and again I say, boast in the Lord. Oh my! We got nothing to boast in ourselves, but we got plenty to boast in Christ, don't we? Oh my! Now by faith we grasp that the Father's well pleased with us in Christ. And that, now think about this. I know we three men have went through a lot of stuff in the past, but I want us to think about this, that the Father rejoices over us right now. God the Father rejoices over us right now in Christ. My. And your dad and Sister Kathy, they're rejoicing face to face. Now, isn't that wonderful? Oh, my. Oh, my. And do you know that the Father could not be more delighted with his people than he already is? Let that one sink in. Because especially when we come out of religion, brother. God's already delighted in us in Christ. And he can't be more delighted in us than he is in Christ. With us. That's the greatest news I've ever heard. Isn't that wonderful? Now, no wonder we, as God's people, willingly serve him. Right? No wonder we willingly rejoice in him. We want to, brother. We don't have to, but how can we keep silent when we hear about these wonderful truths? How can we? We can't, can we? Brother Scott Richardson said, it's going to leak out. It does. Oh, it's wonderful. I'll tell you what, putting this message together, I was singing in my heart. It's wonderful, these truths. My, oh, my. And rejoice, beloved God. We are not accepted by heaven a righteousness that comes to us fulfilling rules and regulations. No, we are the redeemed of the Lord. We rest in the fact that Christ is our righteousness. He's our righteousness. Our entire righteousness comes from Christ and is credited and reckoned to us. Look at verse 9, Philippians 3, 9. Look at this. We can find it right there. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which God tells us in the scripture, our own righteousness like filthy rags in his eyes. He won't accept us in our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. You must believe on Christ. How do you believe on Christ? You must be born again. How are you born again? By the Holy Spirit's almighty power. Oh, look at this. Through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So we who are the redeemed, we refuse to make resolutions and vows and pledges to change our behavior. Why? One might ask, well, why? Why? Well, the answer is that grace believers don't put no confidence in the flesh. Because you ever notice what happens when you say, I'm going to do that? Oh, the flesh, the flesh, the flesh, right? Oh, my. Listen to what David Barnard said. He was a missionary to the American Indians. And he said, He says, I never got away from Jesus and him crucified in my preaching. I found that once these people were gripped by the great evangelical meaning of Christ's sacrifice on our behalf, I did not have to give them many instructions about changing their behavior. He does, amen. Yeah, Christ changes us. We don't love the things we once loved. And now we love the things we once hated. Isn't that amazing? That's the work of God, beloved. That's the work of God. Oh, so beloved of God, that we who are the redeemed, keep looking outside ourselves to the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen to this. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. To be absent from the body, be present with the Lord, and to behold him. Like I'm looking at you, Dave, face to face. Woo! My! It is finished, yes indeed. Finished every jot. Believer, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? It's finished. That's all we need. So rejoice, beloved of God. As our everlasting hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, was hung upon the cross and executed. And in his perfect finished work is all our acceptance with God. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. No contributions from us are needed. None. We but look and live. Isn't that wonderful? So let we who are the redeemed rejoice. It is God's grace that saves us, and it's God's grace alone. It is faith alone which receives that grace. It is Christ alone who is the source of that grace. It all finds its center in him. And we who are the redeemed of the Lord are not in debt. We do not serve God because we feel like we owe him something. No, we serve him because we love him. And we love him because he first loved us. Let's look at our verse one more time. So let we who are the redeemed of the Lord rejoice. Look at our text. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Amen.